me to the book of Numbers, chapter 11. Numbers 11, Old Testament. We're going to the Old Testament tonight. Numbers 11, and my focal point is going to be from verse 23, although I will be referencing the entire chapter, and in the intro, we'll just kind of be going through the chapter little by little. But tonight's teaching is entitled, Not Too Far for God. You're not too far for God. And really what I'm going to be focusing on is what do you do when God appears to be vague? How many of you have ever felt at times where God just doesn't give you a clear answer? Okay, you feel like God is vague. Like really, God? you couldn't be more specific or more precise. The word of God opens up here and it says in Numbers chapter 11, verse 23, and the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall know whether what I say will happen to you or not. You know, when we look at the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 23, it stands in the conclusion to a very trying situation, an extremely trying situation. When you study this text opens up in the wilderness as a sequel to the book of Exodus. And as you know, in the book of Exodus, they came out of Egypt and they started their process going toward the promised land, but they ended up in a wilderness. And the children of Israel up until this point have just left Mount Sinai. And at Mount Sinai, they received revelations. They received the commandments of the Lord for over a period of a year. And even up until this point, they had already seen God do some marvelous and amazing things. I mean, just the parting of the Red Sea in and of itself is an amazing story. Can I get an amen for that? Okay, I mean, just an amazing story. So what we see here is that when we get to the book of Numbers, chapter 11, it opens up with the onset of this brief journey to a resting place called Hazeroth. Okay, just a brief resting place. And God had actually prepared this resting place that would serve as a temporary transition. Let me hear you say temporary. Okay, this is a little side note for this message. There's some of us that we try to make the temporary the permanent. And it's a very bad thing when you try to make temporary installments and temporary situations a permanent place inside of your life. But as I said, that's just a little side note. What we see in this text is that in this brief journey, the children of Israel, when you study their story, all they did was moan and gripe and complain the whole time. I mean, the whole time they moaned and they complained. They complained about how life was better back in Egypt. How many of you have ever met folks that all they ever do is talk about the past? Okay, some of y'all, you don't want to raise your hand because that's the person sitting next to you. But, you know, we see people that's all they ever do. I mean, even up until this point, these people were complaining about the manna. They were complaining about supernatural bread that was provided from heaven. They had everything that was given to them. And when we reach Numbers chapter 11, they get to this place where they even start to complain about the fact that, okay, I'm tired of bread. Now I need some meat. All right, they were not vegetarians. And besides the complaining of the bread and the lack of meat, then they get to this place. I'm pretty sure that they were at this place where they were complaining about the lack of showers. They were probably complaining about the heat. They were complaining because that's what miserable people do, right? They complain. Now, don't tell the church down the street this, but I can kind of sympathize with Israel just a little bit, okay? Because let me tell you something. I could barely spend 10 minutes without AC, all right? Much less 40 years, okay? 40 years in a wilderness. And in some ways, I can kind of sympathize with them. I mean, think about that for a moment. You know, this is a true story. A couple of years ago, we were on a youth trip out to Atlanta. And while we were going to Atlanta, I was in a bus with 50 plus young adults, teenagers, and the AC went out on the bus on an 11 plus hour trip in Georgia. Y'all know about Georgia, right? Okay, gnats and heat. Let me tell you that I could sympathize with Israel at that moment. It was hot in that place. When we would get off on the rest stop, you would hear like the heat just be released, the pressure that was inside of that bus from just the steam and the must. And it wasn't the brakes of the bus. You know how bus brakes go, tsh, but when you opened up the door, it was like, tsh, I kid you not. Okay, I kid you not. It was a hot situation. And I swear it was one of the worst situations. Now going back to Moses, I don't want to get sidetracked here. But in all the midst of this complaining, right? Israel's complaining. And the pressure was put on this one man, Moses. You know, the pressure was just put on this one individual. And Moses was filled with this frustration of having to bear all the complaints. And he got so serious that it got to the point where he even started to complain and cry out to God. So as we look at this text, look at verse 11. The scripture says, "So Moses said to the Lord, 'Why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you would lay the burdens of all these youth and young adults on me?'" I'm sorry, I'm still trying to get past the story. It was a rough time in my life. That you would lay all the burdens of all these people on me. Hey, church, if we can be honest tonight, I mean, let's be very real tonight. Many of us, we've been in places where, like Moses, we've had to make decisions, or we've gone through circumstances, or we've experienced trials that seem a whole lot bigger than God's favor at the moment. It really does. We've gone through issues and circumstances. You know, it's kind of like me being on a bus for 11 plus hours with 50 hot, sweaty people that were fighting and agitating one another. You don't know how many fights I had to break up just on that bus in close proximities. You know, at that moment, I wasn't feeling very pastoral. I wasn't. And if that wasn't any worse, friends, I'm pretty sure you can all empathize and sympathize with this. There's nothing like when you go through an agitating season that you start to also deal with agitating people. Come on now. Okay. Agitating people who they even come against our cries of humanity. Hello, we're human, right? We're going to feel things. We're going to experience things. And there's some people that they even demonize us for having feelings and emotions, as though it's not okay to be upset. Maybe they've never gone through anything in their life, but I don't know about you. I've gone through some stuff inside of my life. So yes, I'm going to have moments with God where I'm like, God, I'm upset. I'm mad right now. Let you get caught up on an 11 plus hour drive with folks that are ready to kill you. Okay? You know, there's times where we're met with these things, these trying times, these times where it's at moments where our human struggle seems bigger than our God at that moment. And one of the things that you'll never read in Scripture, church, you'll never read this in Scripture. And I know many times that people have tried to downplay us for our doubts and our fears and our worries. But God never once says in His Word that we're not allowed to feel or express the sentiments of being burdened. You're going to hurt. I'm not going to ask you to pinch yourself. Maybe you can pinch your neighbor right now, but guess what? They'll probably slap you because it hurts. We feel things. We experience things. And if I can be very transparent with you tonight, church, maybe one of the reasons why some people battle with unnecessary anxiety and depression inside of the body of Christ is because they have this false pretense or this false expectation that somehow Christianity means being robotic. And it's not. But you got a lot of folks that they come in here fake. They come in here with a mask or a facade because, again, it goes back to what I preached to you in times past. That you know, they don't want to present the notion that, hey, I'm suffering. Hey, I go through things. You see, as you continue to read this text later in verse 18, God goes ahead and makes Moses a promise. He promises to send meat to these complaining people. Oh, he said, you want meat? I'm going to send you meat. I'm going to send you all the meat you can want. I mean, it just got so bad that he was just sending all kind of meat. They couldn't even handle it. But nonetheless, God makes this promise. He says, I'm going to send meat to these complaining people. But tonight we're focusing mainly on Moses' disposition and Moses' position in this whole situation. Moses is hurt. Moses is frustrated. Moses is angry. He's frustrated with the people. He's frustrated with the responsibility. He's having to do everything at once. Not asking you for a show of hands, but how many of you have ever gone through a situation where you feel like you're trying to do everything at once? You're trying to handle everything at once. And Moses, this is a man of God. This is a prophet of God. This is a man that loves God, who fears God. He is the hero and the savior of Israel at this point. And he responds to God as many of us do. Friends, when you and I are hurting, it's hard for us at times to accept the goodness of God. It really is. When we're going through difficult times, I mean, God can make promises in our life. We can hear a good sermon, the right preaching. But some of us are so poised and positioned by the hurt and the frustration that we go through. Well, we don't even want to hear it sometimes. So God makes this promise. He tells Moses, Moses, I'm going to send you meat. But I want you to look how Moses responds to God in verse 21. Look at this. Numbers 11, 21. It says, and Moses said, the people who I am among are 600,000 men on foot. Yet you're telling me I'm going to give you meat that will feed these people for a whole month. Moses was basically telling God, God, have you not seen the size of my situation? Have you not seen the size of what I'm going through? How are you, God, possibly going to get me out of this predicament? Friends, how many times have we been in that position where we've gone through anger, we've gone through frustration, we've gone through strife, we've gone through anxiety, we've gone through the pains of what we've experienced in our trial and in our circumstances, that now when the goodness of God is present for us, instead of responding to God with a yes, Lord, and amen, we're like, how? Show me, God. Show me, God. Church, let's be very real tonight. It's an intimate setting. How many of us have been faced with challenges and we become blind to the reality that God is not man? He's God. You see, church, oftentimes the biggest issue that we deal with, and I know that I can specifically sympathize with this, is that we want the details on everything. We want the details on everything. We want the details on how God is going to operate in the midst of our trials. When is it going to happen, God? How is it going to happen, God? And what ends up happening is in our trials, we've allowed ourselves to develop these trust issues, where those trust issues now even start to traject on our relationship with God. And trust issues, they start to manifest uncertainty inside of our heart, that even when God does give us an answer, we're upset because that answer just doesn't seem clear enough. It doesn't seem clear enough. Friends, the PowerPoint for tonight, and I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. The vagueness of God is surer than the surest answer of man. I'm going to say that again. The vagueness of God is surer than the surest answer of men. In other words, you may not have all the clarity. You may not have all the specifics and the dates. But friends, let me tell you that when God speaks a word in your life, you may not have all the details of how that word is going to be manifested or played out in your life, but you can take it to the bank that when God has spoken that word will be manifested on earth as it is in heaven, because God said it, not because man said it. So I want you to see what's going on here. Moses is frustrated. Moses is upset. He's like, God, give me the details. I need to know, God. You and I, we're supposed to have this relationship. You remember back in Exodus 33, God, when you showed me your back? I need that right now, God. I kind of need that. But look what God says to Moses. Look how Moses replies to God in verse 22. Moses says, shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to provide meat? In other words, Moses is saying, God, I need the specifics. I need the specifics. And church, how many of us do we have this issue? We want the specifics. We want all the details. We want God to move in a certain way. And it's not even that we don't believe that God can move. See, there's a lot of people that they do believe that God can move. They do believe that God can show himself mighty. But because they've been so wounded by circumstances, they want something in specific to rest their expectancy on. Church, your expectancy needs to be on God. I'm going to say that again. Your expectancy needs to be on God, not merely on how something will happen. You see, there's so many of us that we get so caught up in the process of how something will happen that we forget that at the end of the day, he's still God. He doesn't need to tell you how everything is going to happen. We want to bring God down to our level. But he's not on our level, church. And this is a very dangerous ground to be on. You see, because when we start to only look on the outward of how the process is or how something could happen, this is one of the biggest baits that the enemy uses inside of our lives. Friends, let me tell you that Satan will present manifestations of certain things that we wanted to happen. And when we see those certain things happening the way that we thought that they should happen, we fall for it. And it was bait. It was bait. Friends, when God wants to move specifically in your life, God will speak specifically. But when God wants to speak vague, it doesn't matter whether he's given you the details or whether he's been vague. You can take both of that to the bank and know that the vagueness of God is surer than the surest answer of man. You see, with all this uncertainty, we start to look at Moses. And God replies to Moses, and I'm going to quote this from the PJAV, which is the Pastor Jose Authorized Version. And basically, what God tells Moses is, he says, Moses, chill. I read the scriptures like that, y'all. Like, I open up the Bible and I hear God like, chill, Jose. I'm like, okay, God. So Moses is, I mean, God tells Moses, he said, Moses, chill out. And I want you to see whether what I said will happen or not. Just watch and see. And God says, did all of a sudden my arms get too short for you? You know what he was telling Moses? Was I not God when I took you out of Egypt? Was I not God when I parted the Red Sea? Was I not God when I called you with all your stuttering issues? Now you don't want to trust me? I'm telling you, God's got a sense of humor. Okay. Let's be for real. God challenges Moses and he says, I'm going to check you, Moses. I'm going to put you in check. Are my arms all of a sudden too short for you? Church, you see that same question. It's given to us in the spirit right now. You see, some of us, we've been going through some things. We're almost midway through this year and we're like, God, this is still looking like 2016. But I'm asking you right now, did God's arms get too short because he didn't operate on your timeline? Oh, see, I'm meddling now. Let me not offend you before you leave the church, before our dear pastor comes back next Sunday. Be mad at me. Jose, why are they not here anymore? I don't know, Pastor. Watch the tape. You see, friends, no matter what challenges we're facing, I go back to this point, and I can't kick this point. I can't shake this point that the vagueness of God is surer than the surest answer of man. Friends, how many times have people told me something and I knew that with all sincerity they meant what they said, but they still fell through? How many times have people made promises to me and they meant it? I knew that they were sincere with it, and they still fell short of those promises. How many times have I made promises, and I fell through on those promises? And I was specific. I gave dates and times and hours and minutes. Like, I'm going to be here at 12 o'clock. You show up at like 8. But God, when he speaks a word, even in his vagueness, God is more sure than the surest promise that you could ever receive from anyone. So what I want to conclude tonight is this. Why does God appear vague at times? And there's two reasons why. Number one is because he's sovereign. Church, we need to get this back in our spirit again. I believe that one of the things that the body of Christ has lost in this hour and in this day and age is the fear of God. A true reverence of God, where we recognize and we acknowledge that at the end of the day, he is God. He is God. Church, for too long has the Western world brought God to our level. And God is not like a man unto us. He's not like us. He's still God at the end of the day. Yes, I call him in my relationship with God. I call him dad. I call him daddy. I love him. But at the end of the day, he's still king. He's still Lord. And we can't forget the balance of the two. You see, there's some of us that we only know him as king. And we don't know him as father. But then there's some of us that we focus so much on the fact that he's father that we forget that he's king. And there has to be this balance between the two where you never forget the sovereignty of God. You see, God wants you to trust in him. And part of that trust is understanding that God reigns supreme. Please understand that, church. He reigns supreme. In other words, God does not stop being God because all of a sudden you got a problem. All of a sudden, you've got circumstances and things that you're going through. At the end of the day, despite your problem, despite what you see or what you don't see, he's still all powerful. He's still all knowing. He's still all able. He's still all willing. You see, one of the things that God doesn't even need, God doesn't need our help in questioning how he's going to get things done. Now, I'm not saying that you can't ask God questions. But please don't think for one moment that your questioning is going to make God move any faster. It's not. It's not. God has a timeline that doesn't operate on ours. He is God. And what we've got to understand is that our limitations, please get this in your spirit, that our limitations will never limit God. Your circumstance will never limit God. Your questioning will never limit God. What you know or don't know about how he can move or whether what he won't do inside of your life, do not limit God. He's God. He's God. Now, like I said, there's nothing wrong with asking questions. But please make no mistake, God doesn't need our input on everything. Church, I'm going to help you real quick. One of the things that have helped me mature in my relationship with Jesus is to understand that Jesus doesn't need my input on everything. And that was hard for me. Because me by nature, I'm a thinker. How many thinkers do I have here? Okay, I'm one of those type of brothers that will stay up till 3-4 o'clock in the morning because I just can't kick a thought. Okay, anybody else like that here? Hello? I sometimes I feel strange. Okay, all right. I'm one of those guys that like I'm up till 4 o'clock in the morning trying to distract myself with everything because I just can't kick this thought. You can call it obsessive. You can call it whatever. I'm just a thinker. I'm extremely existential in my thinking in that I'm always looking for the pursuit of meaning in something. To me, life has meaning. I can't just look at a light bulb and it just be a light bulb. It's got symbolic meaning to me. A window is not just a window to me. It's like opportunity. I'm serious. There's many times where I just stand in front of a window and I look out the window, maybe 5, 6, 10 minutes, you know, and just think. Meaning, the pursuit of meaning. But church, at the end of the day, I'm still limited. I'm still limited. I'm going to read to you a passage of scripture that has become popular with exalting the power of God. But I want you to see another revelation from this text. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him." You see, many times we've quoted that and we've only focused on the PowerPoints of God. Look, God has power. God has things to do inside of your life that eye has not seen or ear has not heard. But I want you to see the other side of that revelation is that there's things that eyes has not seen and there's things that ears have not heard. In other words, there's limitations. Do you see that? There's limitations. There are things that these eyes have not seen. If my eyes have not seen it, then it's a limitation. If my ears have not heard it, then it's a limitation. But I want you to see what this text is saying. It's saying that despite those limitations, despite what you have seen or despite what you have heard or despite what you have yet to see or what you have yet to hear, I'm still God. And because I'm still God, I can do the impossible. You see, when we understand the sovereignty of God, sovereignty comes from two words, which means sovereign reign. In other words, he is all reigning, all powerful. Sovereignty means that God is not on the same playing field as us. He's not. He's not on the same playing field on us. And because he's not on the same playing field on us, his arms are not short. Friends, my arms can only reach but so far. But with the hands of the Father, he can reach in places that I could never touch. So this is why I believe the ministry of preaching is powerful. This is why I believe that prayer is powerful. Because there are times where I may not be able to go see someone at the hospital, but I believe prayer works. There are times where I may not be able to have the connection or communication with somebody, but I believe that God can stretch out his arms in the supernatural and do the impossible. Friends, he's not a God that's on the same playing field of us. He gave us this revelation in a popular passage of scripture back in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. Some of you can probably quote this by heart. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." In other words, I don't think like you do. I don't think like you do. He says, "My ways are not your ways." He was pointing out his sovereignty. I'm not on the same playing field as you. When it comes to us, we're dictated and regulated by the circumstances of life. Problems at work, we take it home. You know what God doesn't do? God doesn't displace his anger on us. For example, if God had a problem with my father, he's not going to take it out on me. Or vice versa. But that's how we are. Hello? That's how we are. We have a bad day at work, we take it home, right? We have a bad day at work, we take it out on the husband, we take it out on the wife, we take it out on the environment, we take it out on the gnome that's in front of our yard when we kick it on the way into the house. Okay? This is how we are. We displace ourselves, but God is sovereign where he's not on the same playing field. He can regulate and dictate and deal with each one of us in our own individual way. That's how he is. He's sovereign. He doesn't think like we do. He doesn't operate like we do. And church, we can trust in that. We need to trust in that. That not one of us, despite the situation that we're in, is out of reach of God. You're not out of reach. You see, to people, you may be out of reach. But to God, he didn't stop being God because you went through some hell in your life. He didn't stop being God because your marriage started falling apart. He didn't stop being God because you had to make a life decision before you slid that debit card. He didn't stop being God. He's still God. His arms are still lengthened. He's still powerful. He's still able to do exceeding and abundant above all that you could ever ask or think. He's still God, church. So we need to understand his sovereignty. The second aspect is that we have to trust again. Some of us, we just need to learn how to trust again. And part of that trust is knowing this, that God wants us to trust him despite whether or not we know all the details. You see, some of us, our human trust is regulated by whether or not we know every detail. This is what we have contracts for. You know that, right? When we make a business decision with somebody in the world, we want to see a contract. We want to see it in writing. Well, guess what? God has already given us his contract. I mean, many of us, it's collecting dust. But you know, he's given us his contract right here. But we want God to speak the specifics. We want God to write our name in the cloud. We want to walk out one day and hear, you know, the birds chirping. And all of a sudden, there's something prophetic about that song. You know, go to the store. You know, it's like... God wants you to trust him despite what you have clarity on. You see, God is the result. Part of trusting in God is knowing that God is the result. God is the breakthrough. God is the solution. Yes, I may have a vague response or I may have a vague answer. You see, friends, even with God speaking to Moses in that situation, Moses is saying, God, how are you going to provide meat for all these people? God said, is my arm too short? That's vague. Moses wanted details. He was saying, are you going to provide all the fish of the sea? Are you going to slaughter all these animals? How are you going to do it, God? God says, my arms are not too short. Just watch and see whether what I said will happen or not. You see, church, Moses was trying to figure out too much. And for some of us, that's our downfall. Is that we're trying to figure out too much. And we get frustrated when we do that, when all that God wanted was our faith. All that God wanted was our trust. Church, let me tell you that I have had extreme breakthrough in my life when I just let go of the fact that I cannot be in control of everything. It has been relief to my mind, to my sleep, to my worries, to my frustration, being able to go to bed at night and know that he who watches me neither slumbers nor sleeps, because he's God. I realize that in this finite, frail mind that I have, that I can only think but so far. I can only see but so far. But I serve a God who has the power to change the course of things. In this finite mind, I'm bound to shame. I'm bound to guilt. I'm bound to doubt. But I trust in a God. And when I release that trust into God, God sets you free from shame. He sets you free from guilt. He sets you free from doubt. Friends, I have found my relief when I truly let it go to God. There has to come a place in our life where we start to anthem this in our soul. God, you are in control. When all hell breaks loose in your life, God, you are in control. God, your arms are not too short that they cannot redeem. When you get the doctor's report that gives you the negative medical report, God, you are in control. I'm not telling you that you're not going to get upset. I'm not telling you that you're not going to hurt. I'm not telling you that you're not going to feel disappointed. But at the end of the day, please understand that if you continue to stay in that place, then you are setting up for a tone of miserable living. But when you release your hands into the air and you say, God, you are in control, it does a world of wonders to be able to release and trust in the Lord and see that he is good. Amen. Friends, let me tell you, God has ways of manifesting things inside of our life that truly we were not going to receive if we were the ones that were in control. I want you to see some things about Moses real quick as we get ready to wrap this up. Again, God doesn't have a problem with you asking questions. He doesn't. Notice that Moses was not struck down for asking. In fact, I believe that God invites us to ask questions. James says it like this: if anyone lacks wisdom, let him seek of the Lord, who gives liberally and without reproach. He asks us, he invites us to ask questions. Church, it's okay to not have it all together. Please give yourself permission tonight that you're not going to have it all together. If you're perfect right now, then you should be 6 feet under. Because the only time that we're going to truly be perfect is when we're face to face with the Lord. When we see him as he is, then we shall be as we've been called to be. But right now, church, we're still battling with our imperfections. So please understand that it's okay. It's okay. It's okay that you've got moments of doubt. It's okay that you've got moments of fear. That just means that you got more opportunity for God to show himself mighty inside of your life and for your life to be a living testimony. I want you to see that Moses wasn't banished for asking questions. God didn't banish him. What you mean? Do you want to know if all the fish of the sea? Moses, I strike you down. I'm raising up Joshua now. It didn't happen that way. It didn't happen that way. Instead, God points to Moses and he points back to the truth of who he is and says, I am God. Did my arms get too short that they cannot redeem? You see, church, get this last aspect in your spirit, is that one of the biggest reasons why we don't see breakthrough or growth in our relationship with God is because you have too many people that they're trying to figure out God and not have faith in God. There's a huge difference. There's a huge difference between figuring out God and having faith in God. You see, when you're trying to figure out God, and this is the mode of many Christians in nowadays, is that they're trying to figure out what appeases the interest of selfishness. In other words, I just want to know how God is going to move in this moment, in this hour. But when you have faith, faith walks in the journey. Faith endures the process. Faith develops relationship. It develops relationship. Faith also humbles herself and knowing that God is not man. And I'm going to trust you, God, even when life doesn't make sense. even when everything is not clear. You see, church, God doesn't merely want you to figure him out. He doesn't want you. Just, some of us, we study this like, let me just get a quick answer to see how God moves. That's not what he's asked us to do. He wants you to know him, to get to know him, to be intimately involved with him, and to know that he is intimately concerned with everything that concerns you. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we serve. That his arms are not too short, that they can't redeem. Friends, I don't know what it is that you might be facing, but what I do know is that God is sovereign and that God can be trusted. And because of that, you are not too far away for God. You are not too far away for God. I'm going to ask you tonight just to bow your heads. And while you do that, I just want to pray over you, church. I want to pray over you because there's some of us, and again, I know that today is Resurrection Sunday, but there's some of us that we need a resurrection in our soul, in our mind. You know, as I pray for this church, the Holy Spirit often impresses upon me the burden of people that are in this body that you have just been going through it. You've just been going through it. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit has really been stressing upon my heart is that for some of us, and I hope that you're in this room tonight, because I believe that there's deliverance for you. For some of us, we have just gone through a succession of series of disappointments. Disappointment after disappointment, where certain things didn't pan out and move the way that we had hoped and expected them to. Maybe we got frustrated because our family didn't look the way that we wanted to. Maybe we got frustrated that our kids didn't come out the way that we raised them to be. Maybe we got frustrated because certain dreams and plans and visions didn't come into fruition the way that we thought that they would. I don't know what lot you've been dealt with tonight, but I do know that whatever you're going through, God is not far away. His arms are not too short. He is a loving Savior, that his arms are wide and they are open and they are here to embrace and reach out to you. And no matter what situation you're facing right now, you may be facing a circumstance that seems insurmountable at this moment. I want you to know that God is still a healer. God is still a deliverer. God is still refuge. God is still the one who is able to break through in your life. Friends, that's who he is. And all today has been a celebration of that, that not even death could hold him down. And if friends, if he could conquer death, if he could conquer hell, if he could conquer the grave, then rest assured tonight that his arms are not too short to reach you right where you are. Some of us, we've lost loved ones this year. God is not far away from you. His arms are close to your heart. Some of us, we've gone through sickness this year. God is still the healer. Some of us have gone through disappointment this year. God is still the glory and the lifter of your head. Some of us, we've been at our lowest points over the last few days, but God is still the one that can take you to the rock that is higher than you. God is still the one that has the power to take some of you who have been on unleveled ground into a leveled place. Like the psalmist said, he has set my feet into a wide place. There's some of you that you have lost your fight and you've been at the point where you felt as though I'm not going to make it through this war. But I've got a word for you tonight, church. He is the one that teaches your hands how to make war. He is the hand in your hand. He is the mouth in your mouth. He is the eye in your vision. And he is the voice in your ears. And he's speaking clarity over you. And he's telling you that my arms are not too short. My arms are not too short. Lord, I just speak over the body and I minister over this house, Lord. Lord, that no matter what anybody is facing here tonight, Lord God, Lord, you are still the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the deliverer. You are the refuge. You are the strength. You are our champion. You are our champion. And Lord, If there be any in this room tonight that have been feeling like Moses, Lord, who have been feeling, Lord, as though everything is falling apart, everything is caving in, everything is coming against them, remind them tonight that your arms are not too short. Father, I just pray over the body right now. Lord, let the healing power of God be manifested in their hearts and in their lives. Lord, let the healing power of God be manifested over their minds and over their families. Lord, I pray that there would be a trust and an assurance, Lord, in your sovereignty. Lord, I pray that there would be a trust and an assurance, Lord God, that you are able to do exceeding and abundant above all that they could ever ask or think, Lord God. Lord God, I pray, Father, that there would be a security that begins to rise up in their heart, Lord God, as they trust, Lord, that you are all powerful, all knowing, all able, all willing, Lord God. Lord, you are able, and we trust you tonight.